Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Turning your Bibles to the 107th Psalm, Psalm 107. I want to preach this morning something a little lighter. I try not to preach real heavy theological messages all of the time, because sometimes we need a glass of milk. And although it's old to me, the gospel never gets old to me. And although it's old to me, I'm talking about my story, my testimony, I know it's refreshing. I go to a preacher's meeting and I hear a preacher get up. I love to hear the word of God, rightly divided. Man, give it to me both barrels, brother, and hit me right in the heart and hit me right between the eyes. And that's how we grow in grace. But every once in a while, I love to hear a preacher stand up and give his salvation story and how he got born again and how he ended up in the ministry. And so I wrestled a little bit, not much this week, on what to preach. I knew early in the week I wanted to preach my testimony. And I pray that somehow, some way, it will be a blessing to you this morning. I start this by saying this. This is not Tim Rader's story. This is about exalting Christ. I want to brag on Jesus this morning. He's to receive the preeminence in all that we do. And I want to say this at the beginning. Everything that has been done, that has accomplished anything for the glory of God, has meant anything in heaven, it is all God that has done it every step of the way. Every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from above. You heard me say this before, and I mean this in my heart. Anything that has been damaging or destructive or has not had any eternal value, that's where Tim Rader entered into the picture. Anything that is good that has happened here, it is the Lord Jesus Christ. Please know that. And we read here in Psalm 107 and verses 1 and 2. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. I want to echo David this morning in Psalm 66 and verse 16. He said, come and hear all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done, what God hath done for my soul. We have a lot in front of us, and we need to give God the glory every step of the way. Paul preached, I think, 10 times by my count. I actually thought it was 7, but he had some short messages in there as well. As he stood before different people, he preached 10 times in the book of Acts. 6 of those times, he gave his personal salvation testimony. Everybody who was born again has a testimony. You have something you can share with your coworkers and with your loved ones and with your neighbors. If you got born again, you got a story to tell. Behind every face in the family of God, there is a story. You say, oh, that's just for the preacher. Not so. There are people that you will be able to reach the preacher will never talk to and never meet and never know their name. But there are divine appointments in our life. And I want to encourage you this morning, if you have been born again, you have a testimony and you need to share that testimony at every turn. Don't ever get over Calvary. Don't ever leave the foot of the cross. Don't ever get cold. Don't ever get indifferent. Don't ever get too big for your britches. Don't ever get my job. Don't ever get to the place where you say, well, my job is doing this. I don't talk to people about Jesus. You are to be a full-time missionary. Charles Haddon Spurgeon said, every Christian is either a full-time missionary or they are an imposter. They're not really born again. Well, all of us are to carry the light. Every single one of us. You may not have a pulpit ministry where you're up in front of hundreds at a time, but there are people that will listen to you and they'll never listen to me and never have opportunity. Only you, they've come into your life. So develop your testimony, short version, long version, and give it to everybody you know. Everybody you know. Take your Bibles, turn to 1 Corinthians and chapter 1. I just want to read this. I'm not preaching it. 1 Corinthians and chapter 1 and verse 22. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. No show here. No hocus pocus. No dog and pony show. That's not it. We preach Jesus. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, and not many mighty, and not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the things which are wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised, and hath God chosen, yea, and the things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are. Man, this is a wonderful truth. We don't bring anything to God. God doesn't need talent. God doesn't need a Hollywood smile. God doesn't need a high intellect. All we got to do is show up, and he uses the nobodies so that he'll get all the glory. My testimony, if you were to take 150 young men, if they were in high school, there were a little more than that when I was in high school at Pickford at that time, but if you took 150 and lined them up in the gym from the youngest to the oldest, 9th through 12th grade, and you were to choose the one that was the most talented and the one that God would use in preaching the gospel, I'm telling you, Tim Rader would have been the last one picked for that team. That's a fact. And I finally got to the place where I surrendered to God, and I want to tell you the story. And after surrendering to God, God provided everything else. He uses nobodies. He uses people that are talentless. If you're called of God to preach, young man, and you're not confident, you're thinking, man, I don't know if I can do it. I want to tell you, you are just the one God can and will use if you'll surrender to him. Go back to 1 Corinthians again, chapter 1. And verse 28, the base things of the world, the things which are despised, hath God chosen, yea, the things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. How many times I've said this here at Fundamental? No big shots in the family of God here. Nobody's more important than anybody else. Let me tell you about the God that I serve. He allows me to serve him. He has adopted me into his family. I have no right, no pedigree, no spiritual heritage. I had nothing to offer God. And here I am today, pastor of Fundamental Baptist Church, and I consider it the greatest church in America. It's the calling of God for my life, and I praise God for everything that he has done. Man, I don't offer God much. You say, Pastor, I don't think that's absolutely true. And when God called me to preach, when God called me into salvation, man, there was nothing where heaven take notice. Here's a choice servant of God. Here's someone that God, you'd be lucky. I'd be a gift to the church if you use me, man. That's not my testimony. That's not who I am, and that's not who you are either. Those are the people God does not use. Those are the people that maybe are successes in life because they toot their horn a lot, own horn a lot, but they're not the people God uses. Take your Bibles and turn to Romans and chapter 10 and verses 9 and 10. We're going to spend a lot of time here in the book of Romans. I'm going to try to make this as clear as I possibly can. Romans chapter 10 and verses 9 and 10. I want to speak, first of all, to my salvation, the day that I got born again. Verse 9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Travel back to 1968. Truthfully, it could have been the summer of 1967. I'm not really crystal clear on that. But I remember this. It's summertime. I'm in fifth grade. You're looking at, and everybody called him Chip back then. You say, why do you have two names? Maybe somebody's looking for me, so I changed my name a couple of times, right? So Chip Rader is not an academician. He does not like school. He does not like teachers. He does not like getting up early and going and doing the chores and then getting on the bus. There's nothing about school is like a prison to him. He lives for Christmas vacation and he lives for summertime. So that last day of school, greatest day of the year, maybe next to Christmas, man, I got off the bus and I am free. Man, it is wonderful. I got 3 months of summertime. And there was a knock at the door that first week of summer vacation. Summer vacation. A knock at the door. It's our neighbor. Hey, would you like to send your boys to Vacation Bible School? Now, I'm within earshot. I'm saying, Mom, no. No. And she said, yeah, I think it would be good for Chip and Bud to go to Vacation Bible School. This is from the mom who went to church 2 times a year, all right? Yeah, no, it would be one. I said, no, Mom, no. Man, I just got out of school. The last thing I want to do is go to Vacation Bible School. Well, the neighbor picked us up the next day. She trucks us on off to the big church in the Sioux. And, man, I don't know anybody there. And, there I am standing in a T-shirt and blue jeans with patches on the knees. You say, preacher, how do you know you're wearing that? Because that's all we ever wore. But in the fall, in August, before the fall started, we got 2 pair of pants and a brand new shirt from the Jewel T Man. You remember that? Remember the Jewel T Man in the area? All right, anyways. But other than that, it was T-shirts and blue jeans. And I'm just telling you, I'm sure that there were patches in the knees. I didn't know anybody. I'm an introvert. It's the last place I want to be. You talk about being intimidated. School is one thing. Now I'm in God's house. Oh, man. And I go downstairs for class. Class. Oh, no class. I'm in a classroom downstairs. And my teacher is Mrs. Margene Rowe. And I was looking to see if she's in the back. I know she was here last week. I don't see. Raise your hand if you're here, Margene. All right. Okay. So they're watching this morning. And I remember this. I was so impressed with her size. Because Margene, Mrs. Rowe, was 9 months pregnant. If she wasn't in her ninth month, she was in her eighth month. And she was not comfortable. But she was there to teach the 5th and 6th grade boys Vacation Bible School class. She told me about Jesus, putting on the whole armor of God. I knew that Jesus died for the sins of the world, but I found out that morning, Jesus died for me. Man, she made the gospel so clear. Any of you boys that want to receive Christ, we're going to dismiss for cookies and Kool-Aid. Raise your hand right now if you want to go to heaven when you die and you've not been born again. I raise my hand right now. Truthfully, I wasn't being bold. I thought everybody raised their hand. Who doesn't want to go to heaven, right? What I didn't know is they were probably already born again. So everybody went out for cookies and Kool-Aid, and I knelt on my knees after she shared the gospel, and I can pretty much remember the prayer I prayed. Dear God, I know I'm a sinner. That's a prayer I prayed with so many others. Would you forgive me? I need you. Be my Savior. I can take you to the same spot in that church this morning and show you the same tiles where I knelt down and prayed, and I know what I prayed. When I got up off my knees, man, I was a child of God. I was so, man, everything was brand new. I forgot about the fact that I was at Vacation Bible School. I remember bragging to my brother Bud on the way home, I'm going to heaven when I die. Man, I got born again that day. And I want to tell you something this morning. If you're here and you've never been born into the family of God, there's never been a time or a place where you received Jesus, repented of your sin, and ask him for eternal life, you've got to do that. These things have I written unto you that you might know that ye have eternal life. God didn't get any prize, not when he got little Chip Raider. Man, I knew nothing about God. I knew nothing. But I knew that God heard me when I prayed. Man, I started to pray. And God started to develop. Now, in hindsight, I see how God was working in our home. My dad quit his job, picked up the cement trowel. We moved to the other end of the Upper Peninsula, and he finished cement for a living. He worked at the Tilden Mine, the Escanaba Paper Mill. Between the two, put in about 6 years over there, and it was a big deal, all right? And while we were over there, my mom got saved. My dad got saved. I don't know if they ever would have got saved here, but they moved to a new area. Not really a lot of friends. The church reached out to them. Man, it was an amazing story how my dad got saved. I know I shared that before, how the preacher had to trick him and to get him into church or to spend a little time with him at home. And I'm going to pick up with that story in just a moment. You know who just came in the door? Margene and Dean Rowe back there right now. Margene, I just got through preaching about you again. Everybody turn around and look at her and wave, all right? Here's the deal. I told how you were pregnant. Was it with Mara? Do you remember? Yeah, I think it was, all right? So now she could have stayed home, but if she'd have stayed home that morning, Chip Raider maybe wouldn't have got saved. And if I didn't get saved, I never would have surrendered to preach. And if I never surrendered to preach, you know how life could be so different? And I know she wasn't comfortable. The Bible says here in Romans in chapter 10, verse 15, it says, and how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. I've never seen Marge Jean's feet, but I know they're beautiful feet in heaven. Because a soul winner is used of God. So I get born again. All right, let's look at Romans in chapter 9 and verse 1. Romans chapter 9 and verse 1. Here's my call. Here's how it happened. I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness, that's a burden, and continual sorrow in my heart. Last night in the national prayer call, a man prayed just before me. I was afraid to pray afterwards. I don't know who these guys are. I've never seen, I know they're brothers in the Lord. They're preachers of Baptist churches. They're born again men. This guy prayed with such power. And there's something about that West Virginia accent that sounds so spiritual. It's like that Irish brogue. It sounds so spiritual. And then I get up and on the prayer call and I stumble and stammer with that Uper brogue that doesn't sound spiritual to me at all. There's something about those Southern guys when they pray. It's like, wow, you know. And he prayed down the power of God. It says here, it speaks of Paul's burden, and that man prayed for a burden for his Jerusalem. And I teared up. If we'd have a burden for our Jerusalem, if we really care about the people around us, the folks we live among, if we had that burden for Jerusalem, the gospel would go on to the uttermost. Some of us have gotten away from that. And I read verse 1 of chapter 9. I also want to read verse 1 of chapter 10 to say this. A burden is not a call. It's an emotion. A heavenly emotion. But it does enhance the call. Paul here says, man, I'm burdened for Israel, my kinsmen. Verse 2. I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. Chapter 10, verse 1, brethren, my heart's desire, my burden, and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Now, what's interesting is the Apostle Paul surrendered to God, but his call was not to Israel. His call, he was the apostle to the Gentiles. So I'm just saying this. If God wants to use you for something, the first thing you need is that burden. And it needs to line up with the word of God. And God will give you continual heaviness and that burden for the people that are around you. And God will develop you along the way. And that call, man, I knew I was called to preach in seventh grade at the Bark River Bible Church with a Baptist, born-again Baptist preacher as my pastor. Every time he got up and presented the gospel, man, it burned within me. I just knew I was so concerned about my grandpa. And my grandpa Raider as well. And I was so concerned about my grandma. I was so concerned that they weren't yet born. They weren't yet born again. And my classmates. Then I just knew it. But I also knew I couldn't do it. I finally got to the place where I surrendered. And I want to encourage you this morning. No matter where you're at in that spectrum. Your next step is to surrender to God. Amen. I don't know where God's going to take you. I don't know what God's going to put on your plate. I can't know what God's going to do for you tomorrow. But I do know this. It is your responsibility as a born-again child of God, a saved individual, to surrender to the will of God and ask for God's blessing. He'll use you. Man, there's so many scriptures I was going to look at, and I got to move along. My call. How about my surrender? Go to Romans in chapter 12 and verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, I knew I was called, but I didn't surrender. I fought God all through junior high school. There were times I'd give in, I'd go to the altar and say, okay, God, I understand the best life for me is to surrender to you. I'm hearing the preaching. I'm hearing the teaching of God's word. But then I'd go back on God again. And through my high school years, especially my junior and senior year, I ran from God. Man, I ran. To be foolish enough to think you can hide from God. First time the preacher came to our house when we lived in Bark River, Michigan. long gravel road. We lived at the bottom of the hill, gravel driveway. You could hear a car coming a long ways away, just the way the hillside and everything, you know, the gravel crackling under the tires. Bud, Rod, and my little five-year-old brother Jody, we were all playing in the yard. Mom and Dad are gone. We could hear a car turn the corner and come down the road. Remember, I'm an introvert. Remember, I know I'm born again at this time. I think I'm the only one born again in my family at this point. But there's a car comes over the top of the hill. It's an older car. It had to be like early 60s. We're watching the car. I said, who is that? And there's another house beyond us on this road. So there's one other house. And Bud, I remember Bud's words to this day. He said it with terror in his heart. It's that preacher. And everybody ran in every direction. And man, there was no place for me to run. I was like the last guy, and he's going to be able to see me. So I didn't want to leave the confines of my dad's 1966, 396 black two-door Chevelle Malibu. What a car that was, man. Red interior. That thing could fly. That's why my dad bought it. He had glass packs on it. But anyway, it was almost a new car. Now, a 66 Chevelle's got about that much clearance underneath there. I dove underneath that car. I'm hiding under that car. I don't know how I got under there, but I'm under that car. And I see the preacher, oh, he's pulled in our driveway. Oh, no. And his door opens up, and I see those big brown wingtips he used to wear. And one foot stepped out, and I'm watching from underneath the car. Another foot steps out, and he's walking towards the house, and he sees my brother Jody. He says, hey, is your dad at home? And Jody said, no. He said, is your mom at home? No, neither one of your parents are at home? No, sir. And he was just about to turn and walk away. And my little five-year-old brother said, but my big brother Chip is hiding under the car right there. Not a very austere beginning for a man of God. Hiding from the preacher. Hiding from God. What a stupid thought. But you know, there are people in this auditorium this morning hiding from God. There's a call of God on your life. Can I tell you this? You don't need to be afraid of the call of God. Just surrender. Man, enjoy the trip. Be saved and surrender, and God will use you, and God will bless. You can count on it. Plan on it. Go to Psalm 37. Psalm 37. 37th Psalm. Let me check the time. Okay, Psalm 37. Verse 23. You might be familiar with this. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. You know how many times I've fallen? You know how many times I've disappointed my Savior? You know how many times I've let him down, drop the ball? Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. David said, I have been young and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Can I tell you this? Just surrender to God. Just surrender. It finally came to a head. I'm out of high school. I didn't go to college that first year. I thought I was going to box another year. I made all these stories up to my dad. Yeah, I'm going to do another year of Golden Glove boxing. I'm going to get back to that and see if I can't win. You know, and you know, he was all for it. You know, but that isn't what my plan was at all. In fact, I didn't even go back and box after I hit my 18th, 19th year. So that was out of the picture. I got a job locally selling snowmobiles and motorcycles. I loved it. And, every day I was going to work and having fun. That's kind of what it felt like. Got married. A kid comes along. Michelle comes along. Before that, I found out, man, I got electric bills. I got phone bills. I got to keep a car on the road. I'm finding out it's not all that fun. You know, I'm not a real organized guy that way. And man, it was like I was always a day late and a dollar short. And I realized, man, this is a struggle. Debbie and I would fight. Oh man, we had some fights that first year. It looked like the Thriller in Manila, you know, Muhammad Ali and Smoking Joe Frazier. You know, it almost came to that. Now I'm finding out, man, this married life isn't all it's cracked up to be. You know what? I left Jesus out of my life. We're still going to church a little bit. The pastor came to me and said, listen, we're short a man counselor at Bible camp. Would you come and counsel the young men? I have good memories from camp. Yeah, I'll do it. I'll do it. So I took time off work, went to camp. It was actually down in Akiak, and the camp's no longer there. And I had the time of my life. Man, I didn't have an electric bill when I was there. I didn't have a phone bill while I was there. I was having the time of my life, and I was enjoying being around young men, and I was in chapel. I was, there's old pastor, old preacher Hausman. He had the joy of the Lord, big old ex-lumberjack, big old rough and ready kind of preacher, man. And he had the joy of the Lord. He enjoyed leading the music, and I loved that, and I loved this preaching. I loved all that was going on. And it looked like every pastor that was there, man, they were just enjoying life. And I'm saying, that's not my life. That's not. And I finally, Debbie and I, towards the end of the week, got underneath a big white pine tree. It's not there anymore. I went and looked, knelt down in a carpet of pine needles about that thick. And I said, God, if you still want me to preach, we're willing to go. I thought it was pretty safe because that was the beginning, the first week of August. Lo and behold, by September, we're in Bible college. What a ride it's been. God, in his mercy, although I tried to mess him up time and time again, he's been there for me. I want to encourage you, serve God. Go to 1 Corinthians in closing. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'll make it 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 9. My service. I pinch myself. My life is almost over. I could have done a lot of things better, a better job of them. But I know I've been in the center of God's will for my life. And the last thing I would have wanted to do is to go home to heaven and find out I was called to preach. And I was supposed to pastor a church. And I kind of did my own thing. Who knows if Debbie and I would even be alive. We'd have probably killed one another long before this. And Pastor Absalom would never have come along. And Michelle would never have come along. Who knows what would have happened. But, you know, in hindsight, the goodness of God. The goodness of God. Rachel, I leave her out so many times because she's the third child. You know that? Am I right, Rachel? Yeah, right here. Yeah, that's a fact. And then my other kids come on. I better name them all now. Who are they, Debbie? Help me out. Caleb. Rebecca, she's here this morning. Yeah. You know, the fact is, I look back in hindsight, and I see God's good hand every step of the way. He guided me. He directed my footsteps. He changed the direction several times when I made poor decisions. He's rescued me. Probably took both hands. He's rescued me again and again. And I want to say this. Get saved if you're not saved. Get surrendered if you're not surrendered. And if you'll get surrendered, you too will find the good hand of God. And there's no limit to what God can do. God may not change your vocation. God may not change your location. He just wants that surrendered heart. But I want you to know, until you surrender, you'll never really know the peace of God. You'll never really know the joy that only God can give in following him. And it says here in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. That's all we got to do. Surrender. Give him our weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasures in my infirmities and in reproaches and in necessities and persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. I know who I am. You don't know who I am. I know who I am. I know the Tim Rader that's on the inside. I know what I used to be. I marvel at the good hand of God. I am overwhelmed at his blessings in my life. I know one day I'll stand before him. I want to finish as strong as I possibly can. Man, you heard me preach football. I want the ball in that fourth quarter. Man, I want to score. I want to go out from this earth in a blaze of glory. The last thing I want is for this church to become a Laodicean church. The last thing I want is for Fundamental Baptist Church to become a church of the world, a church of carnality, a church that knows nothing of the power of God. Man, I want a church of 1,000 people here. I want to bring as many people to heaven as we can possibly bring to heaven. It's going to take the power of God. Here's what's got to happen. Make sure you're saved. Surrender. Surrender. Enjoy life. Surrender.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you good news from the Good Book.